Today's Easter Sunday. Today is the Sunday that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the same thing we do every other Sunday, but we do this in a different way. And this year, I'm bringing the message from a letter of Paul. First thing I want you to know, Easter is the most important day of our faith. The most important, bar nothing else. Yes, the incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ is important. Yes, his ministry, his miracles, his healings, his teachings, all of that is important. Yes, the day on Good Friday where he died on the cross for us, that is important. But without Easter, it's not complete. It is not complete without Easter. There have been many throughout history who have taught. There have many throughout history who have pointed towards God. There are many throughout history who that have done great and enormous things, giving their life up for God. But Jesus Christ was the first to be resurrected. Any other religion in this world who follows a Savior other than Jesus Christ, their Savior has not been resurrected. And that's why I say Easter is the most important day of our faith. Now, this that I read earlier from 1 Corinthians, it's the first recorded instance of the good news. It was written before the four Gospels. This letter by Paul was written to the Corinthian church before the four Gospels existed. So it really is the first recorded instance that we have of him sharing what the facts are. Paul gives us the essential facts and an extensive list of witnesses. He gives us the essential facts of the good news, of the gospel. And then he gives this list of all the people that saw Jesus Christ alive after the crucifixion. That is important for us. That's important for us to know what the facts are. It's important for us to know who the people were who saw him and what they shared about him. And time again, over the days between the resurrection and the ascension into heaven, Jesus Christ was with the disciples. He was eating with them. He was not just a spirit. The body had been resurrected. Now, one of the things that I don't understand, because I know we believe that when we're resurrected, we'll have a new body. I won't have a bum knee anymore, and I won't have arthritis in that toe. That's what we believe, isn't it? But when Jesus was risen, he still had the marks from where he hung on the cross. He still had the mark in his side from where he was hit with a spear. Those were witnesses also. Because remember what he does when he comes to the disciples? They're in the midst of a locked room and he comes to them and one of them wasn't there. Who wasn't there? And what do we call Thomas nowadays? Doubting Thomas. And why do we call him Doubting Thomas? Because the other one said, we have seen him. He's been here. And Thomas said, I will not believe unless I can stick my fingers in the holes. I will not believe. And Jesus comes again while Thomas is there. And he says, Thomas, go ahead. And there's no indication in the scripture that Thomas did. Now, some of us choose to believe he probably did. Come here, let me see that. But I want you to know that Thomas was not a doubting Thomas the rest of his life. He only doubted for about a week. And then he says, I've seen. And we've tagged him with that line for all eternity, Doubting Thomas. Thomas had a great ministry after that. And Thomas went far and wide, and if I remember my tradition right, he went to India and spread the word of Jesus Christ in India. And many churches see that they started when Thomas came there to share with them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we may call him Doubting Thomas, but he didn't stay there. Look at these facts, though. These essential facts that Paul gives us. The essential facts of the gospel are this. Christ died for our sins. Christ was buried. Christ was raised. And Christ appeared to witnesses. Jesus Christ on Good Friday. Not a good Friday for him, but for us. On Good Friday, he died upon the cross in a horrible, tragic death. And just so that you know, hanging on the cross is not a capital punishment. Hanging on the cross is meant to be embarrassing. Recorded fact. There were many people that hung on a cross, not just Jesus. And many of them lasted for days. Not just a matter of hours, as Jesus did. Extremely painful experience from what doctors have written about and what it does to the body. Because as you hang, probably not through the hands, nails through the hands, but nails through the wrist, because you put a nail in your hand, it's just going to rip out hanging there. So it's probably a nail through the wrist. As you hang there and your body pulls down, you cannot breathe. You have to push up on the nail that's in your feet so that you can breathe in. And then it hurts so much to push up on that nail that you let go again. And for hours and sometimes days, people hung on the cross. Because it was on a Friday, because it was right before the Sabbath, they showed some mercy for those hanging on the cross with Christ. They broke their legs so that they could no longer push up. And they just hung there and suffocated. And when they came to Jesus Christ to break his legs, he had already given up his life willingly for you. And for me, he had already let go and given up. And one of the last things he said on the cross was, "It is finished." And the scriptures say that he gave up his spirit. And he willingly gave that for us. The night before, he didn't want to. He wanted God to find another way. And he prayed three times, "Take this away from me, Lord. I do not want to do this." And he did it anyway. Because he said, "Not my will, but God, your will be done." I can't imagine what it was like for the disciples and for all the people around Jesus. He's dead. The one that you put all your trust in, all your hope in, everything you had. "I'm going to have a better life." And now he's dead. Joseph of Arimathea came and asked Pilate if he could have the body of Christ to bury it in a new tomb. The women watched where it was buried. And they came back early on Sunday morning because they had not had time to prepare the body fully for burial. They came back on Sunday morning with spices and herbs and oils and all kinds of salves and just wonderful things to prepare Jesus' body. And it was no longer there. The women were the first witnesses. You see, don't ever stop the gospel at the cross. Don't ever stop the gospel at the cross. He died for our sins. He was buried. Christ was raised. And Christ appeared to witnesses. Can you imagine what it would be like to be Mary? She's gone to the tomb, Mary Magdalene. She has gone to the tomb. She's watched Christ die. She knew where he was buried. She went to the tomb to anoint his body. And now it's empty. And now she doesn't know what to do. And as she sits there in all of her sorrow, she sees someone. And Scripture says she assumes it was the gardener. And she says to the gardener, "Please, tell me where you've taken his body so that I might anoint it." And guess what happened? The gardener said, "Mary." And Mary finally knew exactly who was right in front of her. She had heard her name pronounced that way before. Mary's one of the first witnesses. And she runs back to tell the disciples, "I've seen Jesus. I've seen Jesus." And if you read the Gospels, you know what it says? They didn't believe her. In one way, they kind of said, "You're confused, you don't understand, we saw him die, we know where he's buried." And she says, "I'm telling you, his body's not there." They don't believe her. One of the Gospels says that Peter and John take off running. Peter being an old fisherman, John probably being a very young boy. And it says that John beat Peter to the tomb. But John didn't go in. Peter went in first. He's one of our witnesses. In this scripture, that witness is called Cephas. That's Peter. He was one of the first. Imagine what it was like for Peter and John to come back and say, "Yep, the tomb's empty." As they sit and wait before Jesus comes. Because Jesus had told them that he was going to be resurrected. He had told them time and time again, "I am going to Jerusalem. They're going to treat me ill. I'm going to die on the cross for people. I'm going to be put in the grave. And 3 days later, I will be resurrected." And they never could get it. Now they're starting to witness it. Now they're starting to see it. Now they're starting to understand it. Now Paul in this passage gives us another deep understanding here that sometimes we need to look a little bit deeper. Two of the facts Paul says are according to the Scriptures. Now please know, if you've been around me, I trust that you already know this. The New Testament did not exist when Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians. The New Testament doesn't exist until sometime about 300 years after Peter and Paul. Doesn't exist. And this is one of the first letters that's floating around telling about things. So what is Paul talking about? He's talking about the Hebrew Bible, what we call the Old Testament. Those scriptures tell about Jesus Christ. Those scriptures help us to understand what was going to happen to the Messiah. That's why quite often you see me preaching and teaching from the Old Testament. Because we need to understand those passages. They're not something we need to set off to the side because we've got a new and improved testament. That's not what it means. That's why oftentimes you hear me talk about the Hebrew Bible, and I mean the Old Testament, and the Greek Bible, and I mean the New Testament. Because I don't want to have this concept of, old is not needed anymore. We got something new. We got two pieces that fit together right now so well, so beautifully, that it must be by God's hand. Amen? And that's why I encourage people, spend time in your Bible. Spend time with the Scriptures. I try never to miss a day spending some time in the Scriptures. There are some days it's happened, but the next day I get right back up, and so to say, I get back on the horse, and it's time to sit down with my Scriptures and see what God has to say to me from those Scriptures. Not what somebody else says about the Scriptures. I quite often have never used, in the past 10 to 15 years, never used a devotional book. I don't want to know what somebody else learned as they sat down from the Scriptures. I want to sit down with the Scriptures with just me and God and let God show me what's there and what I need to see today. That's what I want to do. I don't want to experience somebody else's journey. I want to know my journey with God. I don't want to experience what somebody else thinks about what the Scriptures say. I want to experience what the Holy Spirit teaches me today as I sit down and listen for God to talk to me. Because that's what I expect when I read the Scriptures. I expect the Holy Spirit somehow to quicken my heart and say, Tim, pay attention to this. And sometimes it's only one word. And then I just spend time with that one word. Why does God want me to pay attention to it today? What's so important about that one word? I don't need to read the rest of the Scriptures now. Why is that one word jumping off the page? The last thing that's so important from this passage of Scripture is that Paul said he received this gospel message and passed it on to others. He received this gospel message and passed it on to others. We only know about the gospel of Jesus Christ because other people said something about it. That's the only way we know about it. I didn't learn that I could accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, be saved and forgiven, and have eternal life. I didn't learn about that until I was 18. Nobody ever told me. I didn't grow up in a church. Nobody ever told me. I went off to college and someone stopped by to tell me about it. And that was the first time in my life that somebody told me the gospel. Told me that Jesus Christ died for my sins. That Jesus Christ was buried. That Jesus Christ was resurrected. Incredible. And sometimes I wonder, how did I get to age 18 in what we call a Christian nation and nobody ever tell me? I can tell you the answer to that. Number one, we're not a Christian nation. We are not. And number two, many people don't pass on the gospel. Paul says, I received this gospel message and I passed it on to you. So I ask you to think about two things today on this Easter Sunday morning. Have you received the full facts of Easter? Have you received the full facts of Easter? And are you passing them on to others? Have you received the full facts and are you passing them on to others? The church, as far as numbers of folks, will not grow without us passing the gospel on to other people. It does not matter how dynamic a pastor is. Without the people in the church passing on the message, the church in this country will only continue to diminish. And it is. Within 5 to 10 years, the Christians of this nation will be a minority in this country. It is so close right now. I'm asking you, have you received the full facts of Easter? And are you passing them on to other folks? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, you have done an incredible thing. You gave up your son because you were so broken by not having a relationship with us because of sin. You gave up the one who was the perfect Lamb of God to be sacrificed for us, that we might have forgiveness of sins, and that sacrifice might never need to happen again. And yet, Lord, there's so many folks who have not accepted what Jesus Christ has done for them. There's some who have and have turned away. There's some who say they trust you, Lord, but there's never evidence of that in their lives. So I pray for the people that are hearing this message today, whether they're here or watching through Facebook. I pray, Lord, that they would take the very facts of Easter. Christ died for our sins. Christ was buried. Christ was resurrected, and Christ did appear to numerous witnesses before his ascension into heaven. And I pray that they would take these facts and make them personal in their life, that they might know salvation and that they might have eternal life also. And one day experience that resurrection as Jesus already did. But Lord, I also pray for the people that are listening to this message that they would spread the word of Jesus Christ far and wide, that we would not let people go without hearing the story, that we would not let people go to their grave not knowing about Jesus Christ. And Lord, it happens day after day after day. So place in the hearts of these people a burning desire to tell other people about Jesus Christ and about what he's done for us and about his resurrection, which shows us more than anything else how much you love us. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his death. Thank you for his resurrection. Thank you that we too can have the same by believing in what your Son, Jesus Christ, did for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.